Now is the time that we observe the Lord's table together as a body. We use this time, as Jesus commanded, as a sober reminder of and proclamation of the body and blood sacrificed by Jesus. In order to aid us in our remembrance, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, and we'll be in verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." If you're here with us today and you are a Christian, let's take this time to remember what Jesus did for us in our salvation. If you're here with us today and you're not a believer, or you're not sure if you are, please listen intently and consider what Jesus offers in salvation. I'm not using hyperbole when I say that there is literally nothing more important for you to hear and think about right now. Nothing in the world matters as much as this. The Bible here outlines several aspects of our salvation, what it means to be a Christian, that we will consider this morning before taking the bread and the juice together. The first thing we see in these verses is that our salvation is only by the grace of God. Christian, God accomplished your salvation out of a grace that exceeds our comprehension. Nothing has ever been more gracious than God's salvation of sinful man. Jesus, fully God and fully man, lived a perfect life, something none of us can claim. Your imperfection, my imperfection, it deserves to be punished by God, but Jesus was sent by God to be killed on a cross. In his death, he took on himself the sins of all who would believe, took on himself God's wrath, and covered all those who would believe with his righteousness. This leads us to the second aspect of salvation we see in these verses. We see here that our salvation is by the undeserved grace of God. We also see that our salvation is accomplished through faith. God saves those who have faith in him. Jesus died for those who have faith. Nobody is saved outside of a faith in God. God's grace leads us to have the faith to believe in him. Your faith in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely necessary for salvation. Your faith, granted by the grace of God, leads you from death to life. So we see our salvation is entirely by grace. Our salvation is only through faith. We see also here that our salvation is not of ourselves, but it is a gift from God. You had nothing to do with your own salvation. You deserve all of the blame for your sin, and you get none of the credit for your salvation. We come to salvation as the vilest of creatures. Hateful, lying, sinful, disgusting creatures who are given the greatest gift we could ever receive, the redemption of our souls. You bring nothing to the table. If you're here with us today and you see my sin, or perhaps the sin of a friend or family member, or your own sins as an obstacle to salvation, know this. God didn't save me, he didn't save any of us, because we're intrinsically good, or because we came to him cleaned up morally. God didn't save us because we were born obedient, or because we became obedient, kind, loving, and pure. Part of the beauty of God's salvation message is that we can't clean up enough. We can't become moral enough for God to save us. Our sin was so putrid and disgusting that the Bible calls us spiritually dead. And through no goodness of our own, not even a bit, God made the dead alive and saved us in spite of that wickedness. The fact that you are a wicked sinner is not an obstacle to being saved. God only saves sinful men. Salvation is purely a gift from God. We've seen from these verses then that our salvation is by grace, it's through faith, and our salvation is a gift from God. Lastly, here in these verses, we see that our salvation is not a result of works, so that nobody can boast. There is nothing you can do apart from God. There is nothing you can do apart from God to save your own soul. There is not a more hopeless endeavor in the world than trying to work your way to heaven or to salvation. Many religions will tell you that God will help save you, but you have to do enough good to be saved as well. You have to do something to be saved. Anybody who tells you that, anybody who has told you that, is lying to you. There is no part of salvation that you had a hand in or can possibly have a hand in. There's not a possible way for you to be saved outside of a complete reliance on the gift of God made through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. All glory and all honor for your salvation belong to him. So we've seen from these verses, salvation is by grace. Salvation is through faith. Salvation is a gift of God, and salvation is not a result of works so that nobody can boast. If you're here with us today, and you don't believe in the things I just shared, or if you're not sure if you do, we welcome you and we are so glad you are here with us today. I encourage you to take these next few moments of silence to contemplate where you are placing your hope and what you are relying on to save you. If you have any questions about this all, please speak with me or one of the elders either after the service or when we greet one another. I beg of you, I implore you, repent of your sins. Confess your sins. Turn from them and throw them on Jesus at the cross. However, if you won't turn from your sins, if this is not something you're willing to do at this time, we ask that you allow the bread and the juice to pass as they come by. This is a time for believers to remember and celebrate what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Christian, remember what Jesus accomplished. He suffered and he died for our sakes. Take this time to examine your heart. Confess any sin, meditate on your salvation, and take the bread and the juice as your heart is prepared. Men, please serve us.